Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Phil, I want to start here with, because this kind of coincides with the clip of Tom Homan. What cut is this here? This is cut 17 here. So remember I said that there were protesters that were literally heckling ICE agents as they were trying to go in and arrest Trende Aragua. Listen to this really short clip. Fire it out, Phil.
At a second Trende Aragua Link complex, ICE was met by activists who taunted them.
He's coming, f***ing off! What the f*** is wrong with you? Get out of our community!
Can you believe that? They didn't do that for Trende Aragua,
yeah,
but for ICE. They're like, get out of our community.
Get out of our community, but Trende Aragua is welcome.
it's
you know what? If I'm ICE, I go, okay.
Yeah.
you want them, but they can't leave Aurora.
I know.
That's the thing. Build a wall around Aurora, and you could live with Trende Aragua. Okay?
Wouldn't that be something? That would be something. Can you imagine if we're like, okay, you guys want these? No, you're fine, but we're going to build a wall around you and be done with it.
That's like when Selena Gomez started crying about, you know, my people are under attack. Well, she has a big, beautiful house with a gate. Well, why do you have that? Why do you have that gate? You gonna open it? Are you gonna let them in? You know, come on in. Bad hombres, maybe they're good hombres. Come on in, right?
Yep.
What? So she's crying that she deletes the video because she obviously didn't mean it. It was a whole thing. You know, she didn't feel strongly enough to leave the video up. So, you know, again, these people, they if they really think that Trende Aragua is adding to their community, they should just let them into their houses.
So
I mean, live with them.
So Tom Homan said that someone leaked to Trende Aragua gang members that ICE was raiding Aurora, Colorado. So like they have people actually telling Trende Aragua to get out. Roll this.
Any questions? First of all, if they're shouting and helping these people get away with bullhorns, how is that legal? To get help from the people in the streets. I know they can protest, but that's not what they're doing.
You're exactly right. When they come to they cross the line of impediment, and that's why I'm working very close starting this morning with Department of Justice. And where do they cross that line of impediment? So they may find themselves in a pair of handcuffs very soon. So working with DOJ on that, get some legal guidance on that. I'm not an attorney. I know what SecOps is about. I know what crossing that line is. But getting DOJ back up on that. So it's something we're looking at right now, Harris. We're not going to tolerate it anymore. This is not a game. When we show up these sites, this is a dangerous job for the men and women of ICE and Border Patrol and all the DOJ agencies. To have that type of interference puts our officers at great risk. Not only the officers. It puts the aliens at great risk because anything can happen when we take our eyes off the goal here. So we're addressing that immediately today. I'm addressing OPSEC today, operational security, how these leaks are happening. We've already identified how this operation got leaked. I'll deal with that today.
Wow. I'm speechless that there are people actually helping Trende Aragua.
It's crazy. Well, the Trende Aragua, these people that would just like willfully.
Yep.
Rob you, kill you, rape
yep.
you. I mean,
yep.
But let's help them. Of yep. what I would understand. Look, listen, I would understand it if these people were sympathetic to
yes.
maybe a few illegals
yep.
that they had a good relationship
uh-huh.
with, that they think are good people, whatever. Maybe someone overstayed a visa, which is a civil violation. You are helping these people who took over an apartment complex and are violent, like
mm-hmm.
like bad people, bad. There was a hotbed of MS-13 on Long Island for some reason. Like Trump says, for some reason, they love Long Island. Listen, I don't know why. I guess MS-13 loves sitting in traffic. Fine.
You got the hell out of there.
Listen. But Brentwood, Long Island was a hotbed. It still is with MS-13. Less so than it was years ago, but there's still a lot of problems there. MS-13 was violent. You heard that name on Long Island. You were like, okay, we're going to stay the hell out of Brentwood. Not because it wasn't a great area, because they were there. Trende Aragua makes MS-13 look like the Lollipop Guild. Okay? Like, it's just, it's and there are people in these communities that want to keep them?
Yep.
I don't get it.
I
don't think they know that they're getting rid of Trende Aragua.
Agreed.
I think they think they're getting rid of just some guy who's not supposed to be here. I don't think they realize.
Yep. Agreed.
But
Ayanna Pressley. Sorry. Sorry, guys. We're gonna go down the list. We have Joy Reid. We have Ayanna Pressley. We have Elizabeth Warren. Sorry.
Glasses ready.
Sean has his glasses. So there was a hearing yesterday with the Iowa governor, Reynolds. And they were talking about Iowa becoming like the model of governance. And her problem, Ayanna Pressley's problem with Iowa, I'm going to give you guys one guess of what her problem with Iowa is. It's too white, right?
I was going to say there must be a lot of white people.
A lot of white people.
A lot of white people.
Roll Ayanna.
Governor Reynolds, my Republican colleagues invited you here today to promote what they see as a model of governance. Simply put, Republicans' vision of America is to be more like Iowa. Governor Reynolds, let's learn more about the state. Do you know what percentage of Iowans are white and what percentage are black?
I don't know the exact percentages, no. We're by far a larger percentage of white population.
That's correct. Iowa is 90% white and only 4.5% black. So that is drastically different from the national population. So when Republicans suggest Iowa should be a national model, they are advocating for a government that doesn't reflect our country. So let's talk about what this model of governance actually means in practice. In Iowa, you signed State Senate Bill 2385 to eliminate more than 80 state boards and commissions, including those representing black Iowans, Latinos, women, people with disabilities, and Asian, Pacific Islanders, communities that are marginalized and vulnerable and have fought for decades to have a seat at the table. Now, Republicans call this fiscal responsibility. I just call it erasure. Governor Reynolds, the Iowa Legislative Services Agency conducted a nonpartisan analysis of that bill. Do you know how much money was saved when you eliminated those commissions?
Actually, it was not about saving money. It was about putting more resources behind the Department of Human Rights so that we could actually provide them more resources for minority communities.
Reclaiming my time.
She doesn't really want her to answer questions. She just wants to fill
up
with
the math.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, enough of that.
Reclaiming her time.
Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time.
You ask a question, and then the answer comes in, you know, like, reclaiming my time! Reclaiming my time!
Too white, and you know, when...
What percentage of Ayanna Pressley is stupid? 100%. How about that? I can't with these people, the squad. Led by none other than Piggy Smalls herself, Rashida Tlaib, and Jar Jar Binks, Ilhan Omar. Some people did something, right, on 9/11. I can't. I really can't. They make me so mad. I don't like being mad on a Friday, but
sorry.
They make me mad.
Sorry.
It's
sorry.
Okay. It's not your fault. It's Ayanna Pressley's fault. Sorry. If she didn't say stupid things, Greg wouldn't have to play her saying stupid things.
Thank you, Sean. All right. Well, let's
create the Challenger mission and put her on. How about that?
Let's do the trifecta here, shall we? Elizabeth Warren.
We have to get him ready.
Sorry.
I have to get him ready.
Right. Elizabeth Warren, who's actually with Joy Reid, so you might have to get him ready here. YouTube.com/@1210WPHD to
see first.
Sean's props.
Safety first.
Elizabeth Warren on with Joy Reid says that co-president Musk is taking a wrecking ball to the government that works for all of us.
Look, I'm wearing them Schumer stars. See? Right on my nose. Charles, we won't rest. All right, I'll put them up on the video, please.
Roll it.
I want to say what was really lovely about what you just said is just to remind people we built a government to work for all of us.
Yes.
You know, we're just all better off if, in fact, the bird flu gets under control and that our eggs won't kill us. We are all better off. We're better off. We make these investments in infrastructure. We make these investments in our payment system so people don't get cheated. That's how we keep the economy going. And look, bless everybody who gets out there and makes a fortune. Bless everybody who gets up every day and goes to work. But understand the underpinnings of all that are something we all invested in. And now we've got Donald Trump and his co-president, Elon Musk, and they're just running a wrecking ball through it.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's an abstract problem. It is really and truly the kid who needs an aide to be able to sit in class so that they can get an education.
Uh-oh.
Taking that aid away.
Uh-oh.
And maybe taking away that whole classroom. It's these very real ways that people are touched by this.
Sean. Johnny, you all right?
Video's off, Frank.
It's off now, yeah.
I don't want retinal damage.
Sorry
I don't
about
want
that.
Explosive Sorry. Diarrhea. I don't want, you know, suicidal thought. I mean, all right. You know what? You know what? You know what? I'm going to go. We're going to go glass half full right now. Even though there's, I mean, there ain't a drop in the glass when you look at them. But listen, we'll go glass half full. They haven't learned. The Democrats have not learned a thing ever since getting their you-know-what's handed to them on November 5th. So I'll look at it glass. You know what? Keep doing that, Pocahontas. Keep doing that. This is, by the way, Pocahontas. She's the only person in the world to have ever failed a DNA test. That's not possible. You can't fail a DNA test. She did. She said she was Native American because she had high cheekbones.
Yep.
That's racial profiling. I'm sorry. Could you imagine if Donald Trump said, you know, I saw this beautiful person and she had the highest cheekbones. Her cheekbones were higher than Hunter Biden. You understand what I'm saying,
that's
right?
That's really high, yeah.
And she had beautiful high cheekbones. And I said, ma'am. And she said, sir. I said, ma'am, you wouldn't happen to be Native American, would you, with those big, beautiful high cheekbones? They would say he's a racist, right?
Yep, yep.
I mean, they renamed the Washington Redskins. Which they renamed them. I did not rename them. They're still the Redskins. But if he said that and made that generalization, they would have raked him over the coals. Yeah. She's like, my papa said I had high cheekbones, and so I must be Native American. You lied, and then you took a DNA test that you know, was going to come back and say you were whiter than snow, lady. And she took the DNA. She got trolled into failing a DNA test by Donald Trump. The dumbest. How do these people get elected?
Yeah.
Is my question. Yeah. Like, how are they so good making people believe them?
Mm-hmm.
They must have had a nice long prosperous career in sales on a used car lot in order to sell that bill of goods to that many people and get a favorable result. It is just mind-blowing. Elizabeth Warren,
speaking of Elon Musk, we started out this morning with the quotes of here. Let's just for all those that weren't up at 6 a.m. first of all, where were you? But second of all, here you go.
A 19-year-old high school graduate who has used the unfortunate nickname Big Balls online, so that would be one way that we could refer to him. He is now working at Musk's behest inside Doge.
So now you look at these young men who are now in data and in the private information about maybe hundreds of millions of American citizens as young as 19, the Big Balls here.
He called himself Big B-A-L-L-S. I won't say the whole word, so I'll be vulgar.
Yeah.
That's what he calls himself. So Big B-A-L-L-S has all of our Social Security data.
Yes, the media is losing their mind because a 19-year-old used a profile called Big Balls. Every 19-year-old has used some sort of funny name like that. But they are losing their minds over this. That was the talking point on all the shows last night. You want to run the segment here, Phil, from last night. This is Cut 18, where I kind of took that montage from. Roll it.
Specifically now, your latest story is it focuses on a 19-year-old software engineer working at Doge, someone whose past associations that you have looked into, such that they are at 19, would call into question passing a background check. Of course, that hasn't happened in these cases, but would normally happen in a case with access like this.
One would hope, yes. So this is a 19-year-old high school graduate who has used the unfortunate nickname Big Balls online, so that would be one way that we could refer to him. He is now working at Musk's behest.
Looks good coming out of her mouth.
And we looked into his background, and so we found, you know, several notable things, Aaron. One of which is that this individual has founded multiple companies, including one with another unfortunate name, Tesla.Sexy LLC, which he established in 2021. He would have been around 16 years old. Now, this LLC controls dozens of web domains, a handful of which are registered to Russia. Now, that in and of itself is not necessarily...
Russia. In Russia, they like big balls.
If you're watching...
Russia.
If you're watching this on the YouTube, you can see it says big balls. I mean, come on. Cable news, like, they don't understand how... out of touch and lame they are.
It's well, how do they, Greg? How do they not have a sense? Can you imagine if I was on that set as a woman? That's just funny.
It is.
I mean, and
it's hilarious.
Right? Oh, it's funny.
It's so funny. It's on their chyron. It's his big balls.
I mean, that is epic. And so
I don't want to be vulgar. The word balls is not vulgar. It's the FCC not. Even said so. We've said it about 30,000 times.
Yeah, bouncing balls. Yeah, exactly.
What do you play tennis with? Balls. Yeah.
By the way, his real name is Edward Korestein.
Thank you, Dawn.
And Elon Musk has said he's actually top in his field. I mean, that's just it. He's 19 years old, but
yeah,
he's an incredible software, you know, analyst and computer wizard.
He's being called into question because at 19, he had some questionable tweets where he said something about being racist or something like that. I'm sure the way he said it too, like he said something to the effect that I was racist before racist was cool. At that age, you say all kinds of stuff that you don't really mean, that you're not really saying. You're just saying things to be provocative. And the fact that this is even being discussed, it's such a non-story. And this kid had to resign. And to Dawn's point, he seems super qualified, but because he said something stupid at 19, like we all did. You know, he's being drummed out.
Apparently he's a big Elon guy. Like, he loves Elon. Do you know that Elon has the Model S, the Model 3, the Model X, and the Model Y of Tesla? S3XY. It says sexy. That's why he made his name Tesla.sexy. Elon's a silly guy.
By the way, the guy who resigned, let me just clarify this, is 25-year-old Marco Elise. He's the 25-year-old Doge employee who had resigned after reports that had, it was about people from India. So it's a programming, like, nerd inside thing. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't the 19-year-old who's still an employee. Just
okay.
Continue on. I just
wanted to wait. So is Big Balls still a part of
Big
Doge?
Balls is still there.
Oh!
I thought Big Balls was gone.
Yeah, so did
Big
I.
Big Balls.
No, so
it's okay.
So it's the guy with the tweets that got, which is not Big Balls.
With not Big Balls.
Gotcha.
I thought it was the same
balls.
Guy. Okay, so Small Balls is out.
Yeah, Small Balls, Marco Elise, 25-year-old. He's out of there, and Caroline Levitt made that announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Big Balls, however, the 19-year-old, he's in.
Gotcha.
Just all to right. clarify.
Well, as long as Big Balls is still
where
there,
the balls are.
It's all that matters.
Yeah.
It's all that matters.
Yeah. Make sure the balls are in charge. Balls in your court.
Thank you for clarifying that, Dawn Stensland.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm here for.
We have to take a break.
Make sure your balls are all in the correct order.
We have to take a break, and we will get to a Dawn Stensland Big Three on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning. We got some news. We got Big Three for you. Let's continue on with Doge. So Elon Musk has, and the headlines are that he issued an ominous warning to Boston University. I think the opposite should be true, as we're hearing about a Boston University worker who identified himself as Jared May, and he put up this wanted poster. It says, dead or alive, identified as traitors, these individuals, some of whom we've been talking about, who've been in the news. So it says, wanted for treason, dead or alive. And by the way, Elon Musk just responded with one word, noted. He just put noted. And the media is choosing to say Elon Musk has an ominous warning when somebody from Boston University put the photographs of these young men, ages 19 to 25, who've been working on the Doge team. And these are all, you know, by all accounts, like top in the world, like world renowned for their computer skills and all that. But this guy put up their photographs and their names, identifying them, wanted, dead or alive, wanted for treason. So I guess to their credit, Boston University put out a statement they're investigating that apparently one of their employees did put something, you know, concerning on a personal social media account, but they don't discuss personnel matters. So at least BU is at least acknowledging there's something going on here.
Wow.
But it's also bizarre to me that the media is saying Musk is doing something ominous. Is that ominous to say noted? He didn't even put duly noted. He just put noted.
I guess it's ominous.
Yeah. Very scary. Ominous. Scary.
Big scary. Very scary. I'm actually going to go hide under the table right now.
Right?
Please. Oh, there he goes. Bye, Sean. Yeah.
So the men who've been identified, 21-year-old Akash Boba, 22-year-old Ethan Sheotron, 22-year-old Luke Ferrator, and then also the guy, the 19-year-old Big Balls, but he's not known as Big Balls. He's known as Edward Korestein, who's the 19-year-old. And so they're all losing their minds over this, as well as the fact that these guys, they're noted as some of the world's best software engineers. And
I would hope with a name like Sheotron be good.
By the way, I mean, is it any surprise that they're not kids. These guys are the best in the world. I mean, of course they're going to be. Like, it's, you're not going to just pick Joe off the street and be like, hey, go look into this. But that's the way the media is making it sound.
I'm surprised it wasn't like 82-year-old Nancy Pelosi who can't walk that, is good at coding, right? That's She's too busy rubbing her wrists together. She can't be typing codes.
So,
you ever see the movie Night at the Museum?
Sure.
Yes.
You know the monkey in the movie, Dexter?
Yes. Is that Nancy?
Looks just like Nancy Pelosi. Looks just like, even does the face. You know? He pees on Ben Stiller. Imagine if Ben Stiller got peed on by Nancy Pelosi. I'm sorry, I really just had to pee. But you gotta go, right? You gotta go.
Her D-pens weren't working. So what about Trump's 8-point tax plan? We're hearing more about that this morning. And so and I know Caroline Levitt had posted this on her social media account on as press secretary, but this has to do with the priorities as far as no tips on taxes, these tax cuts where no tax on Social Security, no tax on overtime pay, and other priorities are adjusting the SALT, S-A-L-T cap, which Sean, you know all about that because that impacts Jersey, it impacts New York, and especially that's a huge issue for
it was.
Right? And
Long Island, it was a big deal. Yeah. State and local taxes, yeah.
So there's that one. And then also another one that I had not seen in there before, but they want to eliminate tax breaks for those hedge fund individuals as well as, and I had said that a long time ago, so I was glad to see that, eliminating tax breaks for the sports team owners who are very wealthy. And they're allowed to, with their profits, they're allowed to kind of mitigate the high taxes on their purchases, which is something that we're not allowed to do. So I love I think these would go over very well. Although, how much revenue would it bring in? And I was looking through that. I mean, billions. I don't know that it pays for it, and this involves some of Trump's friends because he's going to the Super Bowl, right? He's friends with some of these team owners, but it would eliminate tax breaks for the wealthy of the wealthiest, and that would be the sports teams owners, like football, those who own football teams, that sort of thing. So those we don't have. The bottom line is I guess they met for like 5 hours yesterday, but we still don't have word of what they're going to do with the budget. We don't have any, we don't have the bottom line on the budget, and they have to get this done. So there's that going on. Also, I'm going to take this one because we've talked about who's going to take the leave. Mm. And so now there's the Doge delayed, if you will, because this is going through the courts, may very well end up before the Supreme Court, as we've talked about that. And this is the idea, and I think that we're up to 60,000+ federal workers who said, yeah, I want to take the deal where I get full pay. Here's the problem. If you're a judge, so a judge has just not given any opinion, but has said, hey, we need to hear the arguments. The unions are pushing back on this. But here's my question. If you have 40,000 to 60,000 federal workers who say we want to take the deal where they're going to pay us full pay through next September 30th and they want to take it and it's voluntary and you have a good number, I don't know how you fight it. They're saying that workers don't want it or that it's not fair. But if it's voluntary, I don't, we'll see how this goes. And we have opening arguments on Monday. But for this, they're calling it forced leave. It's not a forced leave at all. The only place you have forced leave is something we've talked a lot about, and that is the employees of the U.S. Agency for International Development, right? USAID. That is forced. They are shutting that down, and it looks like now that is underway. So worldwide today, they're shut out of offices. They're done. And it looks like under the plan, the agency will have fewer than 300 workers out of thousands worldwide. So that's the game plan that we're hearing about USAID. And we've been talking about that all week as we just learned about this week, that they're paying for all of this billions of dollars that they basically funnel money. And not just to do good, which was the original intention, but it became a way that they would carry out some of these policies and then perhaps allegedly line their own pockets. So we got that going on.
Wow.
Yeah, Rubio cleaned house, right? 14,000 workers to 250 or something. That's just, we'll take it. We'll take it. I'm not going to beg for any of these people to come back.
And are these patronage jobs? I will just say this, when people say, well, this is a wonderful agency that helps feed the hungry and all that, I've inferred from the little that Trump has said about it, that he has said, and he's said a couple of times in different ways, that the agency itself, which I believe was created under Reagan or at some or somewhere around there, Carter Reagan.
JFK, I think.
Was it JFK?
With an executive order. Yeah, he opened it with an executive order, I believe.
So I think that the intention was a good one originally. And Trump is not pushing back on saying, let's do what it originally intended, which is that we would approve of and it would be transparent. We would approve of, you know, the aid because we're a very generous giving company and especially starving people and all of that. So there's not a pushback on that. It's just that it was bloated and ended up funneling our tax dollars unbeknownst to us to things that the American people do not support.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You want more? You're very quiet. Usually I just do three.
No, three's good.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Phil Almquist and...
What happened on this day in music history? Music history on Kale and Company.
Today, February 7th, we celebrate the birthdays of Wes Borland from Limp Bizkit, who's 50, Sully Erna from Godsmack, who's 57, and David Bryan from Bon Jovi, who's 63. We also lost Pat Torpy on this day in 2018. Sing of the Coup Surrender by Elvis in 61. It's My Life by Talk Talk in 84. Shooting Shark by Blue Oyster Cult on the same day. Tiny Dancer by Elton John in 72. And Rock You Like a Hurricane by The Scorps in 84. Album include Blessing in Disguise by Metal Church in 89. The Definitive Collection by Whitesnake in 2006. A Different Kind of Truth by Van Halen in 2012. Quadra by Sepultura in 2020, and Raw Power by Iggy and the Stooges in 73. Also in 2023, the handwritten lyrics to Bowie's song The Gene Genie sold at auction. In 2004, Queen's We Will Rock You topped the poll of the greatest rock anthems of all time. In 76, Paul Simon's 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover was atop the singles chart. In 69, The Who recorded Pinball Wizard. In 59, Buddy Holly was buried in Lubbock, Texas, and Richie Valens in Mission Hills, California. In 79, The Clash played their first show in America. In 80, Pink Floyd staged the first production of The Wall. In 74, Blazing Saddles premiered in theaters. In 93, yeah. Selena played a free show at the Memorial Coliseum in Corpus Christi. But lastly, a couple New York stories on this Friday before the big game. In 85, Frank Sinatra's New York, New York becomes the official anthem of New York City. And in 64, The Beatles landed in New York, marking the start of Beatlemania in America. For Kale and Company, I'm Phil Almquist.
Now it is time for our McCausland Lock and Alarm Lock of the Week. Business owners count on McCausland Lock and Alarm to secure and control access to their facilities, featuring top-of-the-line equipment, industry-leading customer service, and owner Tom McCausland's wealth of experience. McCausland Lock and Alarm, securing your business, securing your future. Okay. We're going to do this rapid fire here. Of course, this is the big game, as we can't say because there's a sponsor involved.
Correct.
So, I'm going to go first. I'm going to take the Philadelphia Eagles 31, the Kansas City Chiefs 27. Don Stensland. Oh, boy. Here we go.
I'm going to say that I'm going to go that the Chiefs are going to win it 27-24.
Wow.
I predict that we will have our hearts broken.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I love my Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah. I have a bad feeling.
By the way, Kale texted in and said his pick is 26-20 Eagles. Sean Farish, what is your prediction as a non-Eagles fan? Or if you want to do President Trump, whatever you want to do.
Well, we're going to look at it. Right? President Trump thinks that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win, right? He thinks they're going to win 24-21. However, I believe the Eagles are going to pull it out. I am split with my alter ego. This is a great episode of schizophrenia. I think the Eagles take it. You said 31-27.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be. I think it's 31-30.
Wow.
Last second field goal.
Wow, man.
For
okay.
the Eagles, yes.
I love that. Yeah, wow. I hope you're right.
Phil Omquist.
I also believe a last second field goal, except I think it's going to be by Harrison Butker.
Wow.
Kansas City wins same score as Dawn, actually, 27-24.
There it is. Your McClausland lock of the week for the big game on Sunday. Dawn Stensland. 5 minutes, what you got for us?
Oh, my goodness. Coming up live, Senator Dave McCormick of Pennsylvania. What is he? Why is he talking about avian bird flu, fentanyl, the latest with Dave McCormick? He'll tell us what's really going on behind the scenes in D.C. And then also the latest, there's a lot of Trump news. There's a lot of Doge news. There's a lot of Caroline Leavitt news. There's a lot of Philadelphia and Pennsylvania news and Super Bowl news, too. We got it all live and local.
Awesome. Sean Farish, you did a fabulous job,
woo-hoo!
As usual. Thank you for pinch hitting. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Thank you for everything,
thank
Phil
you so
Omquist.
Much. You're the man.
Great job, Jimmy Kelly. Great job. Dawn's next. Everybody stay right there, and we'll see you on Monday. Go Birds.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.